Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 7th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Missing human rights activist Itai Dzamara's family marked his 36th birthday today in the Africa Unity Square without him and without a clue as to his whereabouts.
We have mixed emotions and feelings about this. We feel excited in one tangent that God allowed Itai to be amongst us.
Prosecutor General Johannes Domana says the country has not yet made a formal request to the United States for the extradition of its citizen linked to the killing of Cecil the Lion in Wange.
Certainly the process will be triggered, but they will not move as fast as I see you guys expecting.
And it's all over for the Chevrons. The Zimbabwe cricket team was in a battle today, but fell short. These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. A birthday is supposed to be a day of celebration for anyone and their clan. But for the family of missing rights activist Itai Dzamara, it was another painful moment of anxiety and sadness today as they marked Dzamara's 36th birthday without him and without a clue as to his whereabouts. All they could do was pray for his safe return. Dzamara's wife, children, and brother Patson marked Itai's birthday by sitting at the Africa Unity Square in Harare, where Dzamara and his colleagues used to sit in protest against ZANU-PF rule. Dzamara's brother Patson tells reporter Ntungamili Nkomo they are sad to mark Itai's birthday under these trying circumstances.
Well, it's indeed a surreal experience for us as a family. We have mixed emotions and feelings about this. We feel excited in one tangent that God allowed Itai to be amongst us and from us, while simultaneously we also feeling the pain of him not being with us in the missing 5 months now. It's really not been an easy journey for us. It hasn't been an easy process in Austria in every way. And so that's where we find ourselves. We're putting ourselves within that need or mix of emotions and feelings.
Despite all the uncertainty and, difficulties that you are going through, did you manage to do something even small, maybe buy a cake for him and just remember him? What did you do?
Yes, with the family, that's me and the family, the wife and the two children. We actually went back to Africa Unity Square where we started this activism. And we bought a cake and some candles just to commemorate his birthday. Not necessarily celebrating, because we also said that because he's not with us.
That was Itai Dzamara's brother Patson on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. Zimbabwe's Prosecutor General Johannes Domana says the country has not yet made a formal request to the United States for the extradition of its citizen linked to the killing of a famous lion, Cecil, in Wange District, Matabeleland North Province last month. Tomana says the extradition procedure is cumbersome and has to be followed according to provisions of an extradition treaty signed by the U.S. and Zimbabwe in 1997, which seeks to net suspected criminals like narcotics traffickers and terrorists. He tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube it takes time to extradite people like American doctor Walter Palmer for prosecution in Zimbabwe.
The normal processes that follow investigations are done. Only that, where you now want to arrest the person and you know the person is not in your jurisdiction, the policeman will then notify that formally to the authority, so-called competent authority. The competent authority is approached with the request that they apply for extradition from the other competent authority of the jurisdiction in which the person you're looking for is. That is done through, for example, in our situation, my office, to the competent office in, for example, America, who will not just, as soon as they receive it, do what I'm asking for. They will then, in terms of their own laws, also trigger the process of extradition, which will involve that person appearing before a court there. And then when the court then subsides that his rights will not be violated, protected by the American Constitution, for example, then they will then send that person to us, having considered all that, including whether or not the law that that person intends to be charged under, whether that law is also a competent criminal offense in that jurisdiction. You understand?
Yes.
So it's a whole process, which is not like a click of your fingers. And I'm wondering why people expect it to happen overnight.
So we can safely conclude that the process has not yet started?
Certainly the process will be triggered, but they will not move as fast as I see you guys expecting.
That was Johannes Tomana, Zimbabwe's Prosecutor General, speaking with Studio 7. His remarks come at a time when about 1.2 million people have signed a petition on a website, K2 Petitions, calling for justice for Cecil the Lion and an end to trophy hunting. Gibbs Dube spoke to the organization's founder and chief executive, Randy Painter, about how the petition will be submitted to President Robert Mugabe.
All of a sudden just exploded in on social media, and over a million people have now signed it. You know, we have a very passionate community of animal advocates, and so when it comes to an issue of protecting wildlife, they're very passionate about it and want to do what they can. I think one of the nice things about this, all this interest in this petition, is that it has opened up the conversation into, well, what really are the best ways to protect lions and other African wildlife? And so I think, you know, from my perspective, I can certainly say that we see the importance of engaging the local communities in actually and incentivizing the local communities to protect the wildlife is, you know, certainly a very important part of the overall solution.
That was Randy Painter, founder and chief executive of K2 Petitions, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from California, right here in the USA. Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye spoke with Ashley Burns, campaign specialist at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, for their take on Cecil's killing.
Hunting is a coward's pastime. And if, as has been reported, this dentist and his guides lured Cecil out of the park with food to shoot him on private property because shooting him in the park would have been illegal, he needs to be extradited, charged, and face the same punishment that the men he conspired with face.
So is your organization doing anything to bring awareness, especially to both sides, the safari operators and also those that are talking about conservation?
We have been taking action to try and prevent more deaths like Cecil, because we know that every day lions are being killed overseas by trophy hunters. So this week, PETA held a demonstration outside the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asking for lions to be added to the endangered list so their bodies can no longer be imported into the U.S. as trophies.
That was Ashley Burns, a campaign specialist at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye here in the United States. Meanwhile, VOA Sebastian Mofu is in Wange and has been asking the question, how important was Cecil the Lion to Zimbabwe or the local community?
Most locals spoken to in this wildlife-rich area of Wange, about 700 kilometers southwest of Harare, say the media and activists have gone into the overdrive. This lady in her late 30s asked to be identified only as Tsar, fearing she would antagonize Zimbabwean authorities who have asked for the extradition of Walter Palmer, an American dentist who shot the lion with a bow and arrow. Her father, she said, has lost more than 10 cattle to lions over the years. Thus, she feels there's no need to mourn the loss of Cecil.
I think what might grieve us as a community is to hear how much this lion was worth and to think that as communities, these animals are worth this much, but we don't benefit anything from having them here.
Across the river lives Nora Svanda.
I think it's rubbish because most Zimbabweans doesn't know about Cecil, so I don't see the fuss about Cecil.
This woman, who also refused to be identified, said attention should be focused on the millions of Zimbabweans who are suffering, not lions.
It's got a lot of publicity, but what about the hundreds and thousands of people in need and starving?
At least one person, Rob Jobson, an Australian tourist visiting Wange, said he had been touched by the killing of Cecil the lion.
Quite apart from it being a disgraceful act of conservation vandalism, I also believe that it's against the laws of this country, and I would like to see the authorities in this country deal with all concerned according to law as they deserve.
Palmer has gone into hiding in the US as activists demand that he face charges for Cecil's death. As of Friday, more than 230,000 people had signed a petition calling on the Obama administration to extradite Palmer. Meanwhile, the trial of a Zimbabwean hunter accused of helping Palmer kill Cecil is set to start next month. Theodore Brongost faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Wange, Zimbabwe.
The MDC Tswangirai Formation is uploading a ruling by High Court Judge Justice Chinembiri Bunu that a registered voter can lawfully contest in a National Assembly election in any constituency in the country. Party spokesman Obed Gutu, however, says though the judge correctly interpreted the law needs to be amended to curb abuses as some political parties may take advantage of loopholes to impose candidates in constituencies where they do not belong. Justice Bunu made the decision during a pre-trial conference in a matter in which former Hurungwe West Member of Parliament Temba Mliswa was challenging the victory of Keith Guza of ZANU-PF, whom he alleges contested in Hurungwe West but was not registered there. Gutu tells reporter Junga Kandemiri that the judge simply followed Section 125 of the Constitution.
Apparently, Honorable Justice Chinembiri Bunu is very correct in terms of Section 125 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which, you know, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. In terms of that section, for you to qualify for election as a member of the National Assembly in Zimbabwe, all you have to be is A, to be a registered voter, B, to be at least 21 years of age, and also you should not be a disqualified person in terms of the provision that relates to criminal convictions within a period of 5 years from the date of election.
As a party, are you satisfied with this law?
As a party, we actually say as the MDC, that law is actually a law that can be abused very seriously, because you can actually have an absurd situation where people can choose to run for office as the members of parliament in constituencies which they do not have any interest or invested interest.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gudu in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, women vendors plead with government to think twice on second-hand clothing. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama and his family returned to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts today for a vacation in which he's likely to spend time playing golf. No official public events are on the agenda as President Obama, his wife Michelle, and daughters Malia and Sasha spend more than 2 weeks vacationing on the resort island, according to officials. U.S. President Barack Obama's effort to sell the Iran nuclear deal to a skeptical Congress has been dealt a serious setback, with one of the president's top allies, Senator Chuck Schumer, coming out against the pact. And a new Islamic State affiliate claimed responsibility yesterday for killing 15 people in a suicide bombing at a Saudi mosque used by security forces. Some women who sell second-hand clothes in the country are calling on Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa to review an upcoming ban on the importation of second-hand clothing, saying it will destroy their livelihoods. Chinamasa announced the ban during his 2015 midterm budget review last week. Amai Pauline Kabanzi, a vendor in Chegutu, says the ban will affect many families who are relying on the used clothes to earn a living and send their children to school. Kabanzi speaks to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on the issue.
It will affect our industry because people have no money to buy new clothes right now. People in Zimbabwe can afford to buy these dollar things. So it was better, it was very good for people to buy something which is cheaper, which is affordable. Since there is no industry, people are not getting salaries.
Tell us a little bit about your business. Where do you get your second-hand clothing?
We get them from Kedzanamo Market in Harare, our capital city.
What are the prices like if you were to buy a whole bale?
A whole bale costs about $200 to $250.
And how long does it take you to sell the bale, and also how much profit do you make out of it?
You make about $50 to $70 profit, and it takes you about a week to sell the whole bale.
And that was Amai Kabanzi speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Chegutu. Meanwhile, proportional representative lawmaker for Matabeleland South, Priscilla Misiaira Mbwimushonga, women lawmakers. She says women lawmakers are also lobbying Chinamasa to reverse the ban, but maintains it will only come when it comes to women's underclothes.
So my take remains, undergarments are a no-no. I don't care what people are going to say. I would rather women move around without undergarments than put on somebody's pants, because that is a sensitive area. And we know what happens when you exchange underwear, things like fungal infections, things like pubic lice, a whole lot of things can be passed on. It's problematic. So I would have preferred that the manufacturer's rebate that Honorable Chinamasa put at this time would have been much more higher, or he would have given much more for those that are pledging to go into underwear production, and then give a transitional period for those that would want to produce general clothing. that way it would then be helpful, because after a particular period, you would know that the industrial capacity has gone to a point where people can actually produce at a competitive rate.
Bearing in mind that this importation ban may actually come into effect next month, what are you going to do as lawmakers?
Lawmakers debated this for a long time. Tuesday, they made their position clear. I'm not sure that they will change. It does look like the minister has decided that he will proceed. In his opinion, he feels that there is nothing that is not going to be paid for. There will always be winners and losers. So I think he will proceed with the ban.
That was Member of Parliament for Matabeleland South, Priscilla Misia Irambi Mushonga, speaking on the line with Studio 7. Hundreds of Bulawayo residents, politicians, church and civic organizations today staged a peaceful march against wild teenage parties that are popularly known as Vuzum parties in the region. Reverend Useni Sbanda, one of the organizers of the march, told Studio 7 that they were impressed by the turnout, adding they are now planning a similar march in Harare.
Yes, we had a very huge turnout, and we had more than 5,000 people, and we had all the stakeholders that came through that we needed. In terms of the police, the students, we had also a huge turnout from parents and churches, including the independent ones, Zionists and the apostles from EFZ and Zimbabwe Council of Churches. So this was quite an exciting moment. We had to walk for 2 hours around the city, you know, raising awareness in sports where these youth are usually picked up for these visit parties.
So what is the next move after this demonstration?
Of course, we are targeting moving to Harare. There's a lot of excitement already there that we should come there and raise awareness. But also, we are going to train peers, these students, to be able to influence each other within schools. So we're really looking at a massive program, even within Bulawayo, where these students can go to schools and train each other about dangers, and also to raise awareness, basically, about the right to education. And also that, you know, it is important that they make sure that they don't get involved in drugs and early sex, because that will destroy their right to education, their access to a brighter future. So we want to teach them that and let them go into schools and teach each other as peers.
That was Reverend Useni Sbanda, one of the organizers of a march against a teenager parties known as Vuzums, speaking there with Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. And in sports and news, it's all over for the Chevrons of Zimbabwe. The Zimbabwe cricket team was in a battle today, and much was expected of the team. Michael Cariati reports on this and other sporting events.
The Chevrons have been beaten by 38 runs by New Zealand at the Harare Sports Cup this afternoon to surrender the 3 ODI series 2-1. The Zimbabweans batted first and set up a target of 235 from their allotted 50 overs, which the Blackheads easily overhauled after a score of 273-4. Fans were expecting more of the Chevrons, considering the fact that the Zimbabweans had won the first ODI. Now to football. Chibuku Super Cup action rode into life this afternoon with a game at Rufaro Stadium between Harare City and Buffaloes. In the end, it was last season's runners-up Harare City who sailed through to the quarterfinals after a 4-1 spanking of the Zimbabwe National Army side. Action continues tomorrow at the peak of the crop is on Sunday when Highlanders are away to neighbors Almain. Ironically, the match is at Babatunde Stadium where the two teams share the same venue. However, the chairman of Highlanders Supporters Association Harare chapter, Modem Wenya, says Almain are in trouble.
Almain is in trouble. You see, there will be the sacrificial lamb in this competition.
Wenya mockingly says their neighbors are small boys. That will not trouble his beloved Moso.
See, we didn't want to face the big guns from the first round, so we wanted to face the smaller teams so that we could progress and we add value to the competition.
The other interesting fixture is one at the National Sports Stadium also on Sunday between Caps United and ZCC Kariba. Yet United spokesperson Joyce Kapote believes the Green Machine are on their way to the Chibuku Super Cup title. The other matches in the Chibuku Super Cup are as follows. Chicken Inn vs. Wange, FC Platinum vs. Longo, Yafungu vs. Clem Lily, Dynamos vs. Wawa. That is Saturday. Sunday, Sayongo play host to Choloto Pirates. Domain matters that FC Platinum are the defending champions. The winners of the Chibuku Super Cup qualify to represent Zimbabwe in the CAF Confederation Cup. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. You have yourself a great weekend. And in our entertainment segment, Sandro Nyaira speaks with Elvis Mazoza of the Vatumwa Wamwari Choral Group following their performance at a recent gospel extravaganza in Urungwe. Elvis says they kept on being called back on stage despite sharing the stage with some of the country's gospel gurus.
Wazara, wazara,
wazara kudenga, kunyona mawanga muma wokulake.
Wazara, wazara,
wazara kudenga, kunyona mawanga muma wokulake.
Fun at Urungwe Gospel Show held in Karoi. We were invited on stage as the first group and we performed to the best. It was a very energetic performance from all our members, from the vocalist to the drums. Everything was just exceptional. All the fans were asking for some more because our performance was best of all the groups that were available there.
And tell me more about Watumwa Wamwari. Who are you?
Watumwa Wamwari is a choral group that is singing gospel music from Anglican Church. We compose our own songs and take our, some other songs from him. We started recording in 2008 and currently we have 6 albums and a DVD.
What prompted you to start recording?
Things were very tough in 2008, so we decided not to be away from the word of God. So we decided to start a musical group that will keep us entertained. Rather than sitting in, walking in the road, taking drugs, we decided that we should make practice for gospel music and record some songs.
But since then, how have been things going? Have you been successful? Can you say you are a successful group in Zimbabwe right now?
We are still striving for the best. We haven't managed to get enough market share, and the airplay has been very, very low. Sometimes our music is not played on radio, but for the word of gospel, spreading the word, definitely, we are very successful because a lot of people are going to church because of our music.
You talked earlier about spreading the word of God through your music. So how do you go about in your communities in trying to make sure that you use your music to reach ordinary people to turn to God?
We attend at every function that is arranged in our community. We go to our churches, we go to some other functions that can be organized in our areas and sing our music there. And we also sometimes we give some promotional CDs to different people to go and listen to our music. That way, our music is going through to everyone.
How can you describe the way that Zimbabweans have been welcoming you in terms of your genre of music? How different is your type of gospel music from others who are already on the market?
Well, our music is totally different from other musicians because we started using the drum and the retros, which is been overrided by the use of these coming instruments, guitars and keyboards. So we decided to use the old instruments, goma and washo, the drum, for people to know the other side, our traditional values as Zimbabweans.
So how many are you in your group?
Our group comprises of 10 members, 10 male members.
And in terms of your plans, what are your plans for the group and with the group? What are you looking at? What are your visions?
We have a 3-year vision at the moment. By 2018, we should be the most vibrant group in Zimbabwe and within and our region, Sadiq region. We want to be one of the vibrant gospel music groups. We are targeting not Zimbabwe only, but other neighboring countries, our neighboring countries.
Oh, thank you so much, Elvis. It's much appreciated. Wishing you all the best, you and your group. Hopefully, everything will go according to plan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra. That's all for tonight. Remember to stay tuned to Studio 7 for its live talk for the talk on Itai Zamara.